Well, amen. It's good to be back this afternoon, and looking forward to what the Lord has for us. I mentioned that this is the last Sunday evening service, so to speak, of 2020. How many of you are going to be glad to see 2020 in the rearview mirror, so to speak? Glad to be moving on. And how many of you, let me ask this a little bit different question. How many of you, there were things in 2020, maybe we're not talking about the COVID and everything like that, but how many of you, there were things in 2020 that you hope to do better in 2021? Maybe personally. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but there are things maybe you tried, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart. Anybody looking for that? Several people raised their hand. I asked a really long question. Well, this evening, this afternoon, I'd like to look at some reasons why we should, as believers, as we enter a new year, reasons for us not to be ashamed, not to be ashamed. So if you have your Bibles, if you take them with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and as you find your place, let's go ahead and stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We're going to read the first 12 verses of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse number 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois, excuse me, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Maybe that ought to be our key verse going into 2021. Let's read that together. That's kind of joking, but still true. Let's read verse 7 together out loud. Would you read that with me? The Bible says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And here the Apostle Paul begins an encouragement to this young man, Timothy. If you see again before we get to our main text, which begins in verse number 8, there were some, Paul was worried about Timothy. He was encouraging him about his faith. He was telling him that he had been raised with good examples of faith. And Timothy had expressed and given a good testimony of faith. But look, it talked about, he was mindful of thy tears. Do you realize that life is not always easy? Do we understand that? He was reminded of some difficulties that Timothy had shared with Paul. And it's good. I love our church family. More and more every day, I believe the Lord allows us to love one another more. And I just can't say it enough how much we love you. And it's a good thing at times, not all the time. You don't want to be known as the person who always comes with their sad sack, you know, whatever. But it's okay to be able to share our burdens and our hurts with one another. And we ought to be able to share those with one another who will encourage us. And I'm praying for you and help us through those. And maybe even share a verse of Scripture. Brother Tim was saying in Sunday school about how he's been reading, he and Miss Lorna are reading through the Psalms. There's nothing, often something that's most encouraging are the Psalms, and there are some wonderfully encouraging verses in the Psalms, but Paul is remembering, Timothy, you've had a testimony of faith. He remembered that Timothy, there have been some hard times, whether it was in his life personally or it was ministry. Both of those things can often bring you to your knees, so to speak, and bring us to tears. And he gives us a picture also that they may have been tears of joy at some time. And seeing someone gain victory over a stronghold in their life or victory over a sin in their life or someone be saved ought to bring tears of joy to our eyes, don't you think? We ought to desire that. And so there's a lot going on with Timothy that Paul is addressing right away to this young man. And he reminds him again in verse number 7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Not that Timothy was a scaredy cat or a coward, but Timothy was human, right? And we all tend to be afraid, and things make us fearful. I give, for example, 2020. There have been things this year that have caused us to be unsure, right? Maybe even scared. Maybe we'd even say afraid, right? And so Paul is addressing that. He was telling him, Timothy, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Not your own power, Timothy. If you try to do things in your own power, you're only going to end up in tears and afraid. And then he says, but of power that comes from God, and of love, a supernatural love that comes from knowing God and abiding in Him, and a sound mind, sound because it's founded on Scripture. And then in verse number 8, Paul begins, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. And what's that next word? Grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath, what's the next word? Abolished death. That's important. And hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why? Paul explains. For I know whom I have believed, and am, the next word is important, persuaded, that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He's reminding Timothy, things done in our own power and our own strength can often lead to failure and fear. But he says, but he's reminding him of the correct focus and foundation of his faith. And he said, if our focus is right, if our faith is right, if our heart is right, if our desires, if we're seeking to abide in Him, he says, we can be fully persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Heavenly Father, be with us a few moments together. Bless Your word, as we know You will. May we be in tune and alert today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. As we read through the New Testament, there are several different times and places where we are encouraged not to quit, not to give in to temptation, not to give in specifically to the temptation of being embarrassed or ashamed about the gospel or about the work of the ministry, about the Savior, and not to let those worries and temptations get the better of us. I read about some embarrassing situations. A man and his wife, they had just met a new couple at church one Sunday, and they stopped and introduced themselves. Did anyone meet our visitors, our guests today? Anyone have a chance to meet our guests? Well, this couple had stopped to meet a new couple at church, and they introduced themselves, this couple that were the church members, they described the friendly neighborhood that they lived in, and then listened sympathetically as the guests to their church. This new couple described that their neighborhood is just the opposite. It was not friendly. It was scary. And the man and his wife said goodbye to the new couple, got in their car, and drove home. And as they approached their house, they were horrified to see that these guests, their newfound friends, were pulling into the driveway next door. That's almost as bad as a lady that was giving a dinner party and had prepared a pasta dish for the main meal. And in her haste, however, she forgot to refrigerate the spaghetti sauce that she had just made. And so it had sat out on the counter all day. And she was worried about it spoiling, but it was too late to cook another batch. And so the lady called the local poison control center and voiced her concern. And they advised her just to boil the spaghetti sauce again. And later that night, the phone rang during the dinner party, and one of the guests volunteered to answer the phone. The guest's face turned pale white as they called out to the homeowners. She said, it's poison control. They want to know how the spaghetti sauce turned out. Those might be embarrassing situations. Maybe shame or even guilt. And we've most likely all felt those different experiences. We've all felt those different emotions. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes not so much, but in the New Testament, here in 2 Timothy, we're warned not to be ashamed of some things, not to be embarrassed of some things. And an obstacle that often hinders our effectiveness as a child of God is boldness, is shame. And we're not bold as we should be. We're easily ashamed, and we're embarrassed to be associated with Jesus Christ. We're embarrassed to be associated maybe with other Christians who are on fire for the Lord. And Paul here, writing to Timothy, facing his final imprisonment, is about to pay the ultimate price for being a Christian. He is confined in a Roman prison. He's awaiting execution. One commentator said his final days are lived in the shadow of the executioner's axe, if you can imagine that, knowing that he would give his life for the faith. And looking at the circumstances of the writing of this letter and the difficulties that Timothy faced, we've looked at a few of those already. Many looking in from the outside might assume that this is a fairly hopeless situation. Paul has been tried and sentenced to death for simply preaching the gospel, and society wasn't receptive to Timothy's preaching either. But this is not a letter, listen folks, this is not a letter of defeat or resignation. This is not Paul telling Timothy to pack it in, phone it in, give up. It's a letter of encouragement and a challenge as Paul sits in a Roman prison, challenging and reminding Timothy, as Paul sat there in prison, Paul was telling Timothy, keep going. It is worth it. No matter how bad the last few years, the last few months, or however long Paul was in prison, he was saying, it's worth it. Keep going. Don't be ashamed, Timothy. Paul knew that serving the Lord and being faithful would far exceed any adversity or oppression or persecution that he faced in this life. And though our circumstances are different in a lot of ways, there are similarities. We aren't in prison, praise the Lord. We aren't sentenced to death for our faith. But we don't face physical abuse like Paul did, at least not at this point, for living for Jesus. But the opposition, I hope we understand, the opposition we face continues to mount more and more. We're in the midst of trying times, and just as Paul encouraged Timothy, we need to press on. We need to continue for the Lord. Don't give up. And so writing to a faithful co-laborer, this young Timothy, Paul wrote in verse number 8, be not thou therefore ashamed. And verse number 12, Paul would restate it, and he would say, I am not ashamed. And Paul wasn't ashamed. And there were some things Paul was encouraging Timothy with, and we need this encouragement as well as we leave a rough, we would say, putting it mildly, a rough year behind and looking forward to a new year. And we don't know what 2021 will bring, but I want to look at some things tonight. The Apostle Paul is echoing through the halls of history, through the pages of Scripture. He's telling you today and me today, don't be ashamed. And the first thing he reminds us of in verse number 8, he says, don't be ashamed of the Master. Don't be ashamed of the Master. He lists the Master over and over. He says he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Life comes through Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace come from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And one way we show that we're not ashamed of the Master is with our words, with our conversation. Our words reveal a relationship, a personal relationship with the Savior. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse number 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. I found it interesting as I was doing some reading in preparation is that the reason we're easily tempted to become ashamed about God, the reason we're so easily tempted to be fearful to tell others about Him is because we don't know Him well enough. Not abiding in Him. Our relationship with God, one writer said, is more of an acquaintance than as a dear friend or a father. And Paul wasn't ashamed to testify and tell others about God. Paul knew God intimately. Paul trusted God to be who he said he would be. He mentioned that in verse number 12. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. There were difficult things he was going through. He says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul encourages us this afternoon, to not be ashamed. And he's reminding us that with that knowledge of knowing God intimately, of trusting Him to be who He is, who He is and who He said to be and who He is to us, comes the power over the fear that he's talking about in verse number 7. Knowing God and abiding in Him allows us to overcome fear. Don't be ashamed, Paul is saying. Don't be ashamed, he tells us, to identify yourself with the testimony of the Lord. Or don't be ashamed to identify with the cross of Jesus. It's that cross that purchased our salvation. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. It's what happened on the cross of Calvary that makes all the difference in this life and in the next. One man said, "The cross is why you are here and not in the gutter." Praise the Lord. If we were to think about what we could have been without the cross and what we are because of the cross. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul would write and say, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." He was saying that there is no greater sacrifice I can make because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for my sins. Paul said this, not to be ashamed of the cross of Christ, the price that he paid. He warned Timothy not to be ashamed of the people of God, including those like Paul who were imprisoned for the cause of Christ. We shouldn't be ashamed to identify ourselves with those serving the Lord. We shouldn't be ashamed of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I came to this point in studying this week, and I don't know if we say it enough, Mrs. Reeves, but I am so thankful for North Woodlawn Baptist Church. And we are so thankful for you. Brother Earl made the announcement, and thank you so much for offering to help with the computer, and what a blessing that will be. But more than just being able to pay us or anything like that, just your patience with a new pastor, just your graciousness and your generousness, and on and on we can go. This point in this message made me think of you and what you mean to me and to my wife and to our family. I want you to know, we're thankful for you, and I hope I can say this, and it's much easier to say this on a pulpit, but I don't ever want to be ashamed to be associated with North Woodlawn Baptist Church and what God has given us to do as far as sharing the gospel, as far as building a work here and keeping a light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shining right here. I'm so thankful for you. And Paul's reminding us not to be ashamed of the people of God. And now, are the people of God perfect? Unfortunately not. We don't always treat each other perfectly, and there are times we let each other down. There are times we wonder why people do the things that they do, and so that's where grace comes in. But we ought to understand our position and the grace that we've received and be willing to extend that grace to others, and you've been very gracious to us, and I'm thankful for that. We ought not ever be ashamed of the people of God, whether that's here or whether that's our missionaries on the field or whatever it might be. We ought to be willing to stand up for those who stand for the Lord. There's no finer group of people than those who have left all to follow Jesus. And let me remind you, church family, I love you so much. Let me remind you that the best thing that we can do from here and now until Jesus comes back is love and serve the Lord with all of our heart. Is to grow together in unity as a body of believers and to just serve Him faithfully until He comes back. Let me encourage you. Let me make this personal. I'm not Paul. I don't compare myself to Paul. But I speak to myself when I say this. North Woodlawn Baptist Church, let's not be ashamed of our Lord and Savior. He says, don't be ashamed of the Master. And then secondly, in verse number 8 there, he also tells us, don't be ashamed of the message. Don't be ashamed of the message. He said, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." If you can do it quickly, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Writing to believers in Corinth, Paul reminded them of what God had committed unto them. You may already know where I'm headed with this one. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 19. I'm going to read several verses so you can keep turning if you want to. 2 Corinthians 5, 19 through 21. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." The worst thing that an ambassador, if we think of an ambassador to a foreign country, the worst thing that an ambassador can do is to be ashamed to represent his country, right? They're getting paid to do that very thing. They're expected to do that very thing. And Paul's reminding us, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we have been, he describes what has happened for us on our behalf. God in Christ reconciled the world unto himself and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have the gospel wherewith others can be reconciled to God. And then our position as ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ said, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ambassadors. I read a story about a man who was saved from a life of alcohol and drug abuse. And he had been gloriously saved, praise the Lord. But his hard life, his hard living showed on his face. And he saw a lady getting into a limousine and felt the need to witness to her. And she was appalled at his appearance, and she said, you should be ashamed of yourself. He said, ma'am, I am ashamed of myself. He said, I'm ashamed of so many things I've done. He said, but one thing I'm not ashamed of is the gospel. He wasn't too ashamed to share the gospel with that lady. Paul challenged Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of Christ, not to be ashamed of the word of God. That's where we find the testimony of the Lord is in his word. He was not to be ashamed to read or to study and to apply God's word to his own heart and life. Don't be ashamed to make God's word a priority in your life. Don't be ashamed to make time with God a priority. Paul challenged Timothy to remain committed to the truth of God's word and share God's word in full confidence of its power and to convict and to bring about salvation, to work in the hearts and lives of men. He reminded Timothy if he denied the testimony of Christ, he was denying the faith. That he's reminding him of the central and the necessity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that Timothy needed to remain committed to sharing that message with assurance and boldness. And in order to do that, he had to be in the Word of God. He had to be studying it. Romans 1 verse 16 and 17 reminds us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul reminds us to not be ashamed to identify with the gospel. The gospel may bring division. It may bring rebuke. It may bring affliction. It brought persecution to Paul and to Timothy, but it's the very message that our world needs. It's the very message that spoke to your heart, that spoke to my heart, that brought you and that brought me to the feet of the risen Savior in salvation. The gospel is the necessity of all mankind. And Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel because Paul understood what it was. The gospel is the good news of salvation. It's the means by which the Holy Spirit leads people from death to life, and it's the only message that delivers from salvation. Jesus said that himself in John 14:6, that he is the only way. We're living in a time where the testimony of Christ has been minimized. It's been watered down by so many different types of so-called churches and preachers, and many are ashamed to take a stand and identify, and very few stand firm on the truth of God's word. Paul is reminding us, even today, North Woodlawn Baptist Church, to stand on the truth. Stand on the word of God. May that be central to everything that we do. It gives me this idea. If we just applied the word of God, if we just lived by the word of God, it'd make life maybe a little easier. Because we wouldn't have to go and say, well, what if this? What about this? What is the Bible? If we just went back to, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say I should do in this situation? Apart from the message of the gospel, Paul was reminding Timothy, there's no hope for the perishing. How great is the darkness of society, one man wrote, where the word of God is not preached and taught. We need to be willing to stand, not ashamed, to stand with the Lord, to share the gospel. There may be ridicule, there may be those that don't embrace it, but we must be willing to stand for the gospel of our Lord. Paul reminds us of several reasons why. He says, because of the greatness of our salvation. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that it's a great salvation. The word great in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3, refers to the magnitude. It's so glorious that what it offers us, we haven't even begun to comprehend all that it offers. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians 2, verse 7, kind of gives us the picture that it'll take all of well into eternity for us to understand all we have and all that we are in Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we all would say, Amen. Praise the Lord for that very thing. And the verse 7 says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful picture of eternity and understanding the exceeding riches of His grace as we are there in heaven with our Heavenly Father. Paul reminds us that it's a good thing, it's an important thing to remember in verse number 9 that we are saved. We are saved. The word that's used there in verse number 9 is a word that means it is a completed act. We're saved, and we'll stay that way forever. We've been delivered from sin. We're saved from the wrath of God. And salvation is precious because it is complete, it is perfect, it is eternal. Why would anyone be ashamed of that? Why would anyone be ashamed of that? The greatness of our salvation. He reminds us in verse number 9 of the grace of salvation. We've talked about that a little bit. Turn, if you would, to Titus chapter number 3 this afternoon, if you would, please. Timothy is reminded also that our salvation had nothing to do with us, with who we are, with anything we may have done. Paul reminds him we are saved by grace. The unmerited love, the unmerited favor of God for sinners was manifested, showed, and proved to us on the cross of Calvary. And even though God knows all about us and knew all about us, still He extended His saving grace toward us. What an amazing thought. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 reminds us of that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3, verse 5 through 7 this evening. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What a promise of what Jesus had done for us. Not because we deserved it. What a thought that grace is. In fact, if we were to go back and think about our works, Isaiah 64 tells us that our works didn't do anything for us except for condemn us. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Praise God for the grace of salvation, grace of God. Then he tells him in verse number 10 of the glory of salvation, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at what He has done. He says, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's interesting, he begins that statement in verse number 9 with the word saved, which is a completed transaction. It's done, it's secure, it's safe. Don't have to worry about losing it. And then he ends verse number 10, that thought there, with the term he hath abolished death. And the word abolished means to render inoperative or ineffective. And these are Paul just reminding Timothy of the great gifts of Jesus Christ and reasons not to be ashamed. He tells him, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the Master. Don't be ashamed of the message. And then he reminds him, don't be ashamed to minister for Him. Here, Paul uses his own example. Paul is no longer held in high esteem as a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as one that's born into an affluent family, one who graduated the top of his class, one who was voted most likely to succeed. Now Paul is an outcast of society. He's an enemy of the state. facing public execution. But though still a prisoner, Paul was still bearing witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's sad to say that Paul reminded Timothy that even some in Ephesus had deserted Paul in his time of need. Many of them could have come to Rome to witness on Paul's behalf, but they didn't. They were even ashamed to be identified with the Apostle Paul. It would have, much like our day, it would have made Timothy's ministry in Ephesus and the surrounding cities easier if he had just gone along with the crowd, if he'd have just preached a message of peace and prosperity and all of those different things. It would have been much easier for him to preach an empty gospel, an empty message, but Paul challenged Timothy to remain true, to remain faithful to the gospel. And as we look ahead this evening, this afternoon, as we look ahead into the new year, and we look back perhaps on some difficult days, the Apostle Paul is reminding us, reminding you today, good job. Don't be ashamed. Keep going for the Lord. Be faithful. Those things that you didn't feel like you were able to do to the fullest for the Lord in 2020, praise God, He's given us a new year. And one day we'll look back on this year and see how God used this year for our good and for His glory. And it's important, not knowing what the future holds, that we stand true to Christ, that we not be ashamed. We may not be put into prison like Paul, but there may be other ways. There may be the loss of friends. It may be, the loss of a job or being mistreated by others. And we have to come to the same conclusion that Timothy did of whether we're going to stand for the Lord or not. Are we going to stand by in silence and lose out, forfeit chances to share the gospel, or will we identify with Him and be willing to be shunned and persecuted in this world? Paul said, look there in our text, he said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We live in a time when the shameful feel no shame. Instead, the one who stands for truth is the one shamed. The one who stands for Christ, the Lord of all, is the one outcast. And just as Jesus said it would be, don't let shame get in the way of your growing faith and your relationship with Christ. Be bold as a lion, the psalmist wrote. Don't let fear stunt your effectiveness. In order to become effective, we must not be ashamed. Let me remind you, 2021, just around the corner. How will we enter it? Will we enter it in fear or shame or boldness and power? As a child of God, look back in your text at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. As child of God this afternoon, let me remind you, as Paul did, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, Paul wrote, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Don't be ashamed. Be bold. Let's be bold as a church, as a body of believers, as we anticipate anxiously the new year and what God has for us in it. Let's stand this afternoon, if you would, with your heads bowed and our eyes closed. Perhaps we need to come before the Lord this afternoon, ask Him for some boldness, ask Him for some courage, spiritual fortitude, we might say. Maybe there's some way in which we've let the Lord down. Maybe we haven't been as faithful, loyal, and upright with our testimony and our faithfulness to the Lord in our neighborhood, in our home, on our job. Maybe we just want to come and we want to begin praying right now for this new year. Maybe we want to pray, Lord, help me to see how You used the past year and want to use that in this new year. Help me not be ashamed. Help me not be ashamed. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time together this afternoon and the challenge and the reminder from the Apostle Paul to a young preacher. And as we take that to heart as a New Testament church here in 2020, that we can still apply these very truths to our lives today and enter a new year, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, bold and persuaded and trusting in Him who we have committed all of these things, that He is able to to keep and protect and to strengthen and encourage. We're thankful for that. Be with us a few moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. As the